Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Tuesday, the 1st of November, Melbourne Cup Day and RBA Decision Day today. And as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only, so please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas or insights in this podcast. All right, well, a little bit of a weaker session last night on the US markets as they finished October. One of the best Octobers ever on record for the US markets. The Dow was up nearly 14% in October. The S&P 500 was up around 8% and NASDAQ was up around 3.9% in October. So a pretty good session. And just looking at the history books as well, November is also one of the strongest months of the year for US stocks. The S&P 500 has experienced a 0.8% gain with positive returns 69% of the time. So 60% of the time, it works every time in terms of the US market in November. So Thanksgiving is coming and maybe we're going to have thanks to give for another good November. But certainly the US market better. We had the Dow Jones up, or rather, sorry, down 129 points, getting carried away with all that optimism during October, finishing down 129 points or 0.39%, 32,733. It had a high of plus 22 and a low of minus 275. The NASDAQ was down 1.03%, 114 points. 10,988, and the S&P 500 was down 29 points in the middle for diddle, down 0.75%, 38.72. The VIX volatility index, 25.88, was up 0.5%. In European markets, we had the Stock 600 up 0.35%, FTSE up 0.66, Germany pretty flat, France pretty flat, Spain up 0.3%. Overnight, but certainly the US, it was about technology and communication stocks were the biggest drag on the market. Apple falling 1.5% and Google down 2%. We did see, let's have a look at some of the big US stocks overnight. We had Apple down 1.5%, as I said, Meta falling back another 6.1%, Google down 1.9%, Microsoft down 1.6%, Amazon down 0.9%, Tesla down 0.4%, Netflix down 1.3%. US banks also eased off. JP Morgan down 0.2%, Citigroup down 0.6%, Goldman bucking the trend up 0.8%, but Bank of America down 0.4%, and Wells Fargo down 0.8%, with Block, the artist formerly known as Square, down just shy of 2%. So a little bit of easing off as we head into an important week for the US with the Federal Reserve two-day meeting finishing on Wednesday. We'll get that result our time on Thursday morning. And of course, our SPY futures, we had a pretty good day yesterday with the ASX 200 up 78 points to 68.64, looking like it could kick a little bit higher, but I'm a little dubious about that, I must admit. The ASX 200's up 10 points on the futures, or 0.15%. But we did see commodities coming off last night. And of course, all eyes on the RBA at 2:30 this afternoon. Victoria closed for Melbourne Cup Day holiday. Some of us working though. But we do have the RBA, and there is a real risk, according to NAB, the National Australia Bank, of a half a point percentage, or half a percent rise in rates this afternoon. 25 basis points was the last rise, as Philip Lowe said that they wanted to see the effects of the past rate rises and the latest one. But that 7.3% CPI number that we had last week does mean that maybe they need to be a little bit more aggressive. And maybe they'll go in the middle for diddle and go 0.35% just to show a little bit of backbone in that fight against inflation. As far as commodities go, last night we had Brent crude down at 1.2%. WTI down 1.5%. Gold slipping slightly, another $3.80. The US dollar index back up again, up another 0.7%. So we are seeing a US dollar rising again. The Aussie back under 64, 63.97 there. And the US dollar index 111.57. So gold down $3.80. Base metals also easier. Copper down 1.5%. Nickel down 1.2%. Aluminium unchanged, but zinc down 4.5%. Lead down 1.9%. And tin down nearly 2%. Iron ore, well, we have officially iron ore down 0.41%. But yesterday in the Dalian futures, they fell by as much as 7% to $75 a ton. That was its lowest since January 2019. Futures on the Dalian exchange dropped more than 1.5%, while rebar in Shanghai sank to its lowest in more than 2 years. So some big, big falls in the iron ore market. And that rout factory data in China adding to demand pessimism there. So the Chinese steel PMI for October pointing to a considerable contraction of output. So not good news there. Lithium slightly higher again last night. And wheat. One of the big stories yesterday was the wheat price, which was up nearly 6% on the news that Russia had basically reneged on their agreement with the UN and Ukraine as far as letting wheat exports out of their port in Crimea as a result of those attacks by Ukraine using drones. But the news from the FT that I saw this morning in Bloomberg was that grain had been being shipped out of that port, although insurance was hard to come by. Russians not particularly happy, so we might see that grain price come back off again. Bond yields, 10-year US bond yields up 4 basis points, 4.05%. So pushing back up again, as is the US dollar. Bitcoin falling 1.1% last night as well. So in terms of metal stocks overseas, surprisingly really, BHP in ADR terms was up 0.61%, Rio up 0.98%. But given those falls in iron ore, I'd be surprised to see that continue today. Freeport McMoRan down 1.6, Alcoa down 0.9, Teck down 1.5, Anglo down 0.6, Glencore up 0.6, Vale on the back of Lula's election in Brazil up 2.4%, Albemarle pretty much unchanged down 0.1% there. In some of the headlines today, JP Morgan has joined other strategists who believe the aggressive hiking by global central banks is close to an end. And Morgan Stanley has called for a rally to reach 4,000 to 4,150, but is now leaning towards the upper end of that range. And we talked to November, so that is historically a strong month. BlackRock said the markets are rallying on hopes that policy tightening is coming to an end, which it thinks is premature. Well, that's what makes a market, I guess, between BlackRock and JP Morgan. Elon Musk is already floating some significant changes in how Twitter is run, apart from the fact he's looking to sack everybody. There's no more directors left at Twitter. He is the only director on the board, as the rest of the board has gone. And he's also looking at floating some changes where he's asking users to pay for verification to get the blue tick of approval from the Twitter platform. So that'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I think there's 310,000 with the blue tick of approval. So not huge bickies there in terms of revenue, given the $13 billion in debt that Twitter has at the moment. As far as other headlines go, Biden is considering tax penalties as well on oil and energy companies on the windfall gains they have made during this energy crisis, astonishing the amount of money that the big oil companies have made. Over in Europe, we did see Eurozone inflation hitting a record high of 10.7%. That's the highest ever monthly reading since the Eurozone's formation, 10.7% in inflation. Inflation in Germany has now reached 11.6%. And in France, the number is 7.1%. Over in Brazil, of course, we do have a new president in Lula, and Petrobras, unfortunately, suffering a little bit on the back of that. That's the Brazilian oil company falling hard on the back of that move. They were down around 7% at its lows, but not quite as bad as that. And the Wynn Resorts has surged after billionaire Fertitta has acquired a 6.1% stake in the hotel and gaming company. He's now the second largest shareholder. And in local news today, we do have a news out this morning on house prices. Brisbane house prices slumping 2% in October. It's a bigger fall than any of the other capital cities and the largest monthly decline on record. We did see Sydney house prices dropping by 1.3% and Melbourne by 0.8%, which is smaller than their August falls of 2.3% and 1.2% respectively. In some company news today, it looks like Brickworks still wants in on the FBR, which used to be Fast Bricks, the robot laying brick company. Looks like they bought another 35 million shares last night after the bell at 5.3%. Brickworks is supposedly the buyer of that big parcel. And Genworth Mortgage Insurance, GMA, this morning has said that its net earned premium will be towards the top end of its guidance range of 375 to 435. The company expects FY22 net claims incurred to be within the range of negative 25 to 25 million compared to previous guidance of 0 to 50. So it looks like 25 million is the price there. And Pacific Equity Partners looks like they could be working up a bid for ReadyTech, which has attracted their interest. That's a $500 million company. It looks like they're doing some due diligence over that before preparing a full takeover offer. ReadyTech PEP is likely to work with ReadyTech's largest investor, Sydney PE shop, Pemba Capital Partners, which has a 32.4% stake in the company, which was floated in April 2019. But expect a pretty muted session today from the ASX 200 with that 10-point SPY futures slightly positive, but some base metal weakness may weigh on resources again. Banks could have the wind slightly out of their sails today after the US banks didn't do too much. But all eyes will be on the RBA at 2:30. 25 basis points was the last month's rate rise. 50 has been predicted by some. I'm going to go for 35 in the middle for diddle for the RBA. Pin the tail on the donkey. And if you're interested in the Melbourne Cup today, Macquarie's quant team is every year they do a quantitative analysis of the runners and riders for Melbourne Cup. And they are backing the favourite Deauville Legend to win the Cup. Having said that, Macquarie has actually been complete rubbish at picking the Melbourne Cup winners in the past few years. They started in 2007 with their research into this, but they have not been particularly good in terms of the way they predicted it. But they have got the top ranking, number 8, Deauville Legend, ahead of Knight's Order, Hu Ya Mei, Without a Fight, Montefilia and Realm of Flowers. Wherever you watch it, bet with your head, not over it. Have a great day, and may the trading gods be with you.